Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Profit Playbook Podcast. In this show, we discuss entrepreneurship, digital marketing, and how to grow a profitable online business with some of the best minds in the space. I'm your host, Tyler Narducci. I broke free of the 9-to-5 rat race back in 2015 by starting my own digital marketing agency and have since scaled it up to multiple 7 figures. Today, I run a consulting firm helping marketing agencies and B2B business owners rapidly scale their online businesses through our 100% done-for-you leads and sales program. We do this by fully automating your lead generation, sales, and client fulfillment. If you're interested in taking your agency or B2B business to the next level, then apply now at www.profitpeak.co. That's www.profitpeak.co. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. Now, let's dive into today's episode. Episode of the Profit Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Narducci, and today I have with me Harry Spate. Harry is an expert keynote speaker, author, and podcast host who passionately believes in the power of servant selling and leadership to drive sales and create positive long-term results. His book, Selling with Dignity, Your Formula for Life-Changing Sales Results, and podcast, Sales Made Easy, promote the successful approach to sales. Harry understands that sales and marketing go hand in hand. He's passionate about helping those who need to sell to reach their goals, to increase revenue, and to build trust with buyers. Harry, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's great to be here, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's just dive right in here. So we're talking sales, we're talking selling. You hear that I've long said that if you know how to sell, like, you're way ahead of the pack in the business world already. But is selling really a necessity in order to succeed? And would you say to a new business, what would you say to a new business owner who feels that sales may actually be a weak spot for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's great questions. The whole idea of business is requires sales. Without sales, there is no business. It's a hobby, and that goes back to people a lot smarter than me that said similar things. So yes, sales is required. Now, not everyone is great at it, granted, but for those who feel like they can do everything but sell, I suggest that you just kind of look inward and look back at the number of times you sold in life, and that will help you to get started or re-energize, because we've really been selling since infancy, whether it be selling our ideas or selling concepts or looking for promotions or, you know, moving ahead in the class. There's a lot of sales that goes on. So yeah, it can be done naturally, but that's what I'm all about, helping people.
When you talk about selling and you're selling throughout your whole life, I think a lot of people don't really realize that they are selling throughout their whole life and pushing for the things that they want. Even people that aren't as maybe type A, like someone like me, they're still, you know, accustomed to at least some different, you know, some form of selling. But how does that natural selling that we do, how does that really affect our ability able to learn quickly high ticket sales or sales that can move our business forward?
Yeah. So if you think going back, I say, well, sales is persuasion in a lot of ways. So it's not always asking for the business, but sometimes it's helping people to change their perspective. It's discussions and conversations, winning people over to your viewpoint. So in that sense, we've been selling, and I say right from the time we came out of the womb, because our first sale was to get mama to hold us and feed us and feel the love. So that's been working ever since. And even as tiny toddlers, we learned how to negotiate. We learned what the moods were of our parents, when to ask, when to keep quiet. And, you know, we learned how to play this game of sales throughout our lives. And when it comes to business, so this is where people frequently lose track of that. And they say, well, I don't want to appear salesy. I don't want to be that guy that everyone looks to and runs the opposite direction, because they're always pushing their sales on us. And no one wants to be like that, except for those people. So if we use our natural abilities of loving people, caring for people, having conversations, putting their interests first, that can go a long way. Of course, we've got some details that we have to work out in the meantime, but still, that overall attitude of putting others first is what I believe can really separate businesses from those who don't sell very well.
I can speak from experience here that when I first started my own business and I started getting on sales calls for the very first time, I was absolutely just like repulsed by it. Like I couldn't stand it. It made me nervous. It made me, it made me uncomfortable. Like I you have a good product, you know, you have a good service, but then trying to take that as a creative, and a lot of our audience that listens to the show, they're creative, like they're digital marketing agency owners and different B2B business owners, and they've crafted their business and built up their, you know, their service items and everything. And that's kind of where their mind is. And then to flip over into the, now let me pitch you and sell you and try to convince you to buy it, it can be a big stretch for a lot of people. And I know this because I work with a lot of clients who face that similar challenge. So how do you, how do you go from someone who's getting on a call and nervous to really just focusing in on the points that are going to matter in terms of getting the deal across the line?
Well, there's a number of things there, but yes, I totally can relate. Being a creative myself, when I got into sales, I'm a person that wants to be liked by everyone. And I thought when I got into business to business sales that basically people would want to hear what I had to offer. And boy, I learned pretty quickly that was not the case.
Inbound.
Even inbound.
Yeah.
So just getting to this point here is that I liken it to service. So I view it as if the server in a fine dining restaurant, we all like to go out to eat generally, and the server who is serving can be well detailed, take care of you as a client or as a guest. They're just asking, you know, what it is that you want. And they'll ask for the order, granted, but they're not coming out all nervous and say, oh my God, I wonder what these people are going to think of me. It might happen the first couple of times. But eventually they get into the zone, they're comfortable with serving people, and they're very comfortable with asking for the order. And then they're comfortable with asking for the dessert. Maybe in the beginning they weren't, but by asking these types of questions where you're thinking about the server serving, to me, it's easier. I'm just going to serve people. If they say no, they don't want the specials, or no, they don't want a glass of wine, or no, they don't want the dessert, it's not the end of the world. So understanding that the outcome may not always be in our favor, we just keep serving and then, you know, rehearse enough so that we have a natural script, not something that sounds like it's a script, but it's, we've gone over it so many times that it becomes very natural and easy for us. Then that can go a long way in helping these servant-minded people to be better on the selling side of things. Is that, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good rundown of it. It's when you get on the call as a person taking sales calls earlier on in their business life, they could be really attached to the outcome in, I just need to get the sale. I just need to get the sale. And in just needing to get the sale, you lose the, I actually need to help this person. And right. I actually need to connect with this person. I need to, you know, help them grow their business, right? So if you take out the, I need to get the sale, take out the attachment of, I need to close this deal, then you can just take a lot of pressure off your shoulders even before you go into the call and allowing it to be a much more free-flowing conversation. And then with repetition of that in that more calm, I'm just serving this client atmosphere, you're able to then perfect a more rhythmic, sales process. Is that what you're getting there?
Oh, so good. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better, Tyler. So a couple of things that you mentioned there is that just taking the outcome away. I heard this, wish I could take credit for it. You could say things like, I want sales. You can even think, I need sales. You just don't need the sale from that person you're talking to. So I heard this years ago is, I think from Brian Tracy, act like you want the sale, just don't act like you need it, because then you come across as being needy. And nobody wants to be around needy people. And then the thing is that you cannot hide it. I mean, your facial micro expressions, which we think we're holding, we got the poker face and all, you know, our mouth starts to quiver, our eyes change, our eyebrows change, you know, our smile turns into a frown. We can see that the sale's not going our way. And it's like all over us. And then the person stops talking. They're like, are you going to have a breakdown? No, they don't say that, but it's almost like that. And then they're afraid to tell us what's really on their mind. So just rehearsing it enough, expecting that this one may not go my way. That's okay. There'll be plenty of opportunities. I'm just going to continue to do the right thing. And when someone says, no, this isn't for me, I'm going to say, that's cool. And if I can ask you a question, because when I say things like that, because I do, and then go into a question you might ask to figure out, well, what do they mean by that? Is there opportunity in the future? You know, sometimes we just let it go. But after you hear people say no enough, you want to understand why, so that you can then do the right follow-up. Sometimes no means I got a lot of things on my plate right now. Sometimes mm-hmm. no means I'm working with someone else right now. No, I don't have the budget right now. No, I don't want to spend money with you yet. You know, there's all kinds of reasons. And once we start to understand those, then we can address them in a calm conversation, not, well, what do you mean? But relate to people, right? Where this is, I can tell you, very relatable. By the way, you bring this up, servant-minded. That's really what people are looking for. Do you understand me? And can I have a safe conversation?
Yeah. And really the path through that is just questions. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when you're selling a product, a high ticket product, you know, you don't want to just pitch all day for the entire call. You shouldn't be doing that much talking. You should be asking a lot of questions, getting more information from them, because they could say, no, I don't want to move forward. But if you haven't done a proper discovery to find out, just like you said, what is the reason? Is it that, you know, I'm wrapping up a contract with another provider and I need to start next month, but I still am interested? Or is it just flat out, no, I don't think it's a good fit? Those are all things that you really do need to uncover so that you can take your sales process to the next step. Because no, maybe it didn't close on that call, but on the next one, it absolutely can, or on the follow-up next month, or wherever that, you know, that actual thing is. How would you say, or what would be your advice to a business owner that, either themselves taking sales calls, or they've hired a closer and they're taking their sales calls and they're getting feedback that they are too pushy? How would you advise that sales representative or business owner to be less pushy?
Yeah, nobody likes that, right? It's like, so just understanding that if the opportunity is not a natural transition that I want to do business with you, trying to close somebody is, to me, it's worthless. You're just putting pressure on people, laying guilt on them. I don't, for years, I didn't have a close. Like there's books out there, like 100 different ways to close business, whatever the number is. I never did any of that. I just would simply ask, does it make sense to move forward at this point? Or my favorite line comes from the book, The Perfect Close with James Muir. And it's so natural. And he says something along the lines, at this point, what a lot of my clients do is they decide to go ahead with a proposal, or we decide to go ahead with a contract. Does that make sense for you? And the person says either yes or no. And if they say no, he says, fine. So like, what do you suggest makes sense for you at this point? And they will tell you, right? It's like, I'm not ready for this, or I need to think it over, or I got to talk to people, whatever. But trying to close somebody is just going to, in my opinion, push them away. And if you do get the business because you're a strong closer, in all likelihood, it's going to be one and done, right? You're going to leave a trail of bodies where people come in because you're a strong closer and they're not great clients and they're not getting you what you need. And then they're leaving bad reviews. So it's got to be natural, in my opinion, for higher ticket items.
Especially. Yeah, when you force them through the door with tactics, and then, you know, they all of a sudden get buyer's remorse and they're like, oh my God, what did I do? You know what I mean? Because they, you know, they had a good conversation with the sales representative. it needs to be, like you said, a mutual thing or a thing where the sales representative has really just uncovered the desire to want to move forward in the prospect and not, you know, push the prospect through the door, essentially.
Yeah.
The worst clients are the ones that were pushed through the door every single time.
Exactly. And it's funny. I mean, I have been closed before and I've canceled. I mean, it's like, what was I thinking? And the person just laid so much guilt or whatever. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go ahead with this. So, okay, you're a great closer. You closed me, but then you didn't get the deal. And then you won't get any future deals and you won't get any referrals either from me, which I have a network and a lot of people do. So I want to be very careful about how you ask for the business. I like it very casual, easy. And if they say no, we just find out why. A lot of times it takes years. As longer you're in your business, the more you'll see people come around after several years of being in touch with you. And it's like, well, what made you decide to go ahead? And you find out it's like, I'm ready. I wasn't ready 3 years ago. And that's okay.
What do you think is something that most business owners get wrong about sales?
Well, they think exactly what you said earlier. They think it's all about closing. And so they feel like I need to be a better closer. I suggest you need to be a better conversationalist and a better listener. Because if you're not having great conversations, here's the thing. You brought up discovery questions. Discovery questions are great, but did you ever have a conversation, Tyler, where someone thought you were a prospect that started with discovery questions and you're like, why are you asking me these questions? I don't even have a need. And when people are going, they don't know how to have the business conversation. Like, what's going on in your business these days? What's your top focus? Give me a couple of areas where you're focused on growing your business today or what's top of mind for you. And they have this kind of conversation long before you get into the discovery conversation. Right? Yeah. Find out if there's a need, find out if there's likability, that you guys have some kind of synergy or connection going on before you jump into discovery. I mean, I've been on these discovery calls. It's like, what were you thinking? I was in the market for something. It's like you reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, let's have a conversation. And I'm in a discovery conversation before I know. It's like, no. It's not what I want to be doing. So that forced sales is what is misunderstood, I think.
I think when I talk about discovery, because most of my experience in sales has been with inbound calls. So we, with my clients and with the clients that I work with, and for my own business as well, we do a lot of advertising.
Yeah.
Customers see the ad, they click on the ad, they book a call, and then they go into their the call with the representative. And on that call, there's a lot of intent there already because they've seen the ad and they basically said, I have this need and I want this thing. And so they generally will go into more discovery calls a little bit quicker now, or discovery questions a little bit quicker. Now they do first definitely talk about the business in general and what's going on and have that synergy. It's not just straight, you know, what is your budget? What are you doing right now? You know what I mean? But, but I think, you know, with a lot of digital marketing agencies or service-based business, if they're not doing cold outreach, which cold outreach is great, but if they're doing, you know, warm inbound calls, then maybe discovery questions a little bit sooner is a little bit more appropriate in those cases.
100%. And, you know, what you just outlined there is someone raising their hand versus someone who is not even in the know about what you do. So there's... Yeah. And I think there's the misconception or misunderstanding there is that people who don't know either situation hear something, they watch a video and they say, well, that's what I should be doing. Yeah. And there's no differentiation between someone raising their hands and someone that you're just having a conversation with for the first time that did not raise their hand.
If someone tried to sell me cold, oh God, I just like, no way. Like it could be the best thing in the world and I don't want it. Like I'm not a person that's going to buy something cold. I have done it once, I think, in my life. I saw a cold email and he was a kid. He was like 19 or 20 years old and he had, you know, videos. He does videos for ads and he had a sample on there and I'm like, that's pretty good. And like, I, so yeah. I wanted to give him a shot, and I did give him a shot, and he did really, really good. And so I was actually happy that I kind of broke out of what I normally do in that one time. But generally speaking, oh man, cold outreach. I'm like, I have to respect to all the salespeople out there that do cold outreach, because it's not a friendly world in the cold world.
Yeah. And I think this is another huge opportunity, is that on the cold outreach, look at how you can provide value for people. Mm-hmm. So instead of like on LinkedIn, like we all get these DMs from people. I could open up my LinkedIn and read about 20 of them right now if I wanted to, right? Yeah. Harry, we do digital marketing. Harry, this or that, right? So none of that appeals to me. I'm not in the market for it. So I don't accept those people in my network. They're off in a nice little folder, never to be seen. So that's what they're offering. Now, a better thing to do is follow me and look at my comments, or look at my posts, comment on my post, develop some kind of connection there, which some people do. I know what their real intention is. They want to sell me something. But in the meantime, they're providing me value. They're commenting on my posts. They're bringing recognition of me into their community. And it's like, would I rather do business with someone like that when I do have a need, or someone who spams me? Yeah. Just on cold outreach that says, Harry, I do digital marketing. I can help you 10X your business. It's like, okay, great. Thanks. Next.
I think that's a good piece of advice for people doing cold outreach. Go that extra step, that extra mile, make it more custom, make some type of actual connection instead of just shoving your offer in someone's face. It can go a long way to bring you out of the pile of all the other people targeting that person for cold outreach.
Exactly. Harry,
I think one thing that almost everyone in the world has dealt with to some extent is we all fear rejection to some extent. Like, there are people out there who fear it a lot less than others, but I think everyone in the world does not enjoy the feeling of rejection or being told no. So in the sales world, you kind of have to get used to being told no and have it be not a good fit often. There are more no's than there are yeses in almost every case. So how do you get past that fear of being told no?
Yes. The answer, I think, is just repetition. It's just deal with it. It's like you have to hear this word no. Now, a person like me and a lot of your audience who are creatives, they don't like the word no. They want to serve people. They want to be liked. I am the same way. But eventually, if you just listen to the no the first time and move on, you're not going to get any business. People say no automatically in one form or another. It may not be no directly. It could be I'm not interested, I'm all set, I don't have budget. You know the drill. But we have to get used to that. And then it's like, okay, so if I compare it to the clerk in the retail store that goes up to a customer that walks in and says, can I help you? What's the first response? I'm just looking. Right. So if you just walked away to everyone that said, I'm just looking, or they said, no, I'm all set, and you walked away, you would get no business. These are the natural responses that come from us. Just like we say, how are you today? I say, fine. I don't give it any thought.
Yeah.
So people are saying this without giving any thought. So you just have to recognize it and say, well, the first response is they're going to say, I'm all set. So I just have to digest that, let them air it out, and then continue the conversation. And you can do that very tactfully, which we don't necessarily need to go into, but understand they're going to say this all the time. And it's not a reflection on you. It's what people are programmed to say. So
yeah,
so we all have to deal with it. And the more we hear it, the easier it is to get there.
I think another way, yeah, totally. And another way to move that conversation forward, like you said, and not just kind of let it die on no, is just ask more questions. A lot of people don't realize that they have a need for something because they assume a bunch of other things that may or may not be true. And you don't know those assumptions until you actually get to them by asking. For example, If you're a digital marketing agency and you're selling lead generation services, and you're selling, let's say you also sell sales services as well, And they're like, oh, I just need the sales. I don't need leads. We have plenty of leads. We're good on leads. And you're like, okay, that's fine. And you know that, you know, if you place a closer or a sales representative on their business, that salesperson is going to need X amount of calls per day in order to stay around because they're a commission-based representative. You know that. They may not know that, right? And they're saying, oh, I'm drowning in leads. I got a ton of leads. And you say, okay, well, now all of a sudden your package of lead generation sales doesn't make much sense because they don't need leads. They only need this one other thing. Well, if you just ask a little bit more, you may find out that them swimming in leads is two to five leads a week. Or, you know, one lead every other day or something, a lead volume that would be very insignificant for a close representative, but may be overwhelming for them as a business owner. So everybody has these understood ideas of what a lot is, what a little is, what they're good on, what they're not good on. And you, as a service provider, you know best. When you're on that call, you're the expert in what you do. In how you do it. And you're not going to get on the same page unless you ask the right questions to make sure. Another one that digital marketing agencies run into all the time is pricing. Pricing. If you're selling a high ticket service and you hit them with a 5K price or a 10K price or 15K price, whatever it is, and they go, whoa, that's way out of my budget. I can't afford that. And you have a price objection. If you have not before then found out what they're charging for their services and just assumed that they were also charging what they should be charging for their services, then you will have really missed out there. And we find all the time that that is a very, very common thing. People undercharge for their services all the time. And when they hear your price, if you're not undercharging, they're doing the math in their head. Well, I'm going to need, you know, five of my $2,000 clients to pay for your $10,000 service. And when in fact they shouldn't be charging $2,000, they should be charging a lot more for that service. So if you didn't go into their pricing and what they're charging and what's normal and find all that stuff out, then you're selling yourself short. So even though they say, like you said, I'm just looking, I don't need that. I do need this. I don't need that. Ask enough questions and you'll find out more often than not, they probably actually do need that thing. And they didn't think they did because of their own math.
Yeah, it's so good, Tyler. I love what you're bringing out here. So how do you ask the question without necessarily coming across as challenging or disrespectful?
On pricing?
Yeah, or like whatever, where you know you need to dig deeper. They asked you a question and they're kind of like, the example I can think of is the pricing, and they're saying, wow, that's a lot. And what do you do with that?
Yeah, so I have a few different sales representatives, and I let them all do their own natural thing. They're all great at what they do, and they all do it very, very differently. And so I don't force them to respond in any certain types of ways. Mm-hmm. But the way that I would naturally do that, I would just keep it okay. I like to be agreeable. First off, I never like to tell them, oh no, you're wrong, or don't challenge anybody. You like to be always agreeable on the call because everyone wants to be agreed with. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to feel heard. Everyone wants to feel, yes, that's right. And so, okay, that's all right. I totally understand. What are you currently charging for you're telling me you're selling Facebook and Instagram ads. You're telling me you're doing some SEO. What are the current prices that you're selling at and how many clients you have? And just keeping it very, very, totally fine. Rolling with the punches, very agreeable, and just asking out front, what are you currently charging for those services, and just seeing where they go.
Yeah. And I, you know, and this is where a little bit of business acumen comes in, right? So if you go beyond product, you learn about business. And so you're just taking this very simple approach, but you also have business acumen.
Right.
So being able to have the conversation where, and you might even not you, but a person might even throw in, my goal here is to be a resource for you. You may hire me, you may not, but I still want to be a resource. And I have a couple of questions just to help better understand what it is that you're doing so I could be that resource. And now you move into those questions about, you know, tell me a little bit about the product that you're offering or whatever, right? The products that you're offering, what is your average ticket size? And now you have something to work with instead of just, like you mentioned earlier, it's just leading into the discovery questions. It could be great, but I think when you understand what the person, because they're going to get those discovery questions no matter where they raise their hand. if they raised their hand with you, there's a good chance they raised it with someone else.
Right.
They filled out an online form. What's your thought?
And that's a good point, because compared to what, right? Like, Oh, that's really expensive. Okay. I totally understand. You know, it can be a little pricey for some folks. What are you comparing it to? Expensive, really compared to what, right?
Right.
So are they shopping around? Did they find somebody else? And then you can really agree in a very agreeable fashion. You can get into, well, what are we actually comparing it to? Because another thing that I see happen frequently, especially in the digital marketing world, is they'll be talking to a few different agencies or a few different digital marketers. And one of them does this, but they only do this. The other one does this and this, and this one does this, 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 and this, right? And they're comparing one person's price that only does this to this guy's price who does all of this, right? And so he looks way more affordable, but he has a way more value because he's actually doing a whole lot more for you. If you go with this guy, you're also going to have to hire this guy and this guy because he doesn't do it all himself, right? So there are things that you do have to ask questions for. Otherwise, they will go assumed by your prospect, and those things that are being assumed will lose you the sale, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't ask, you know, compared to what, and find out who they're comparing it to, and then say, oh, well, we're doing this and this, and they only do this. So it actually makes sense that they're charging about that rate, because, you know, if we did just that, we would be closer to that as well. But we're also providing support for here, and we're doing this here, and we're doing this here. So there's just things that you have to ask. And if you don't, it's at your own peril, I'd say.
Yeah, it's really good. So the way you approach that question, though, is when you say compared to what, someone says, well, this is pricey. And they say, well, compared to what? I think not that there's any really bad question, but you can soften that question.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to just say compared to what, because that sounds really, really abrasive.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm saying
it happens all the time.
I'm saying that to you on the podcast because I'm just trying to keep it real and what needs to be asked. But in terms of how you would say that, that is a good point, Harry. How would you soften the compared to what on a sales call?
Yeah. So simply by saying, I have a thought when I say that seems pricey, because I say it as well, right? You're always looking for that relatability. I am in your shoes. I'm on your side of the table. We're not opposed. I'm on your side is really what I try to bring about. So when I say this, I'm thinking one thing. When I hear it from you, though, I just want to be sure how I need to understand that. So when you're saying that this is pricey, what's coming to mind for you? And then they will give you an answer. And now it's like they might say, well, I've shopped around and there are some people that are half the price. Say, I get it, right? And I've done similar things. And if my prices were that far out of line, I wouldn't have any business and I'd be looking for a job. So there's... And you throw a little humor in there and then, you know, dig into deeper. Would you mind for a few minutes that we dig a little bit deeper just so that we're on the same page? I want to make sure you're not feeling like we would be ripping you off or something along those lines.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So, Harry, what would you say are some things that you could do to improve your chances of getting the sale overall?
Yeah. Number one, make it about the other person. Just try to remove all emotion. So there's a Navy SEALs do this. I mean, I just gave a speech recently on listening. And in stressful situations, especially when you're starting out, every business opportunity seems to be stressful. So what the Navy SEALs do is they practice box breathing, which is simply inhale for four to the count of four, hold for four, exhale to the count of four, hold to the count of four, and repeat three or four times. That puts you in a state of relaxed calmness where you can now have a conversation without so much emotion riding on it. So if you're going into a call, you research the person that you're meeting with, you research their business, you look for ways that you could provide value for that person outside of your business. Maybe it's a connection. Maybe it's someone you network with. Maybe it's someone that they can collaborate with. So you come in as a giver, as a value add person, Now, when you're having the conversation, there is this thing called reciprocity that you've already given. And I see you nodding your head. So the reciprocity may come back to you in the form of getting the business. But doing everything in a servant-minded set, to me, is the way to go and increases your chances and for future opportunities and referrals. Even at the end of the conversation, they may say, you know, I'm all set right now. You can then say, so how did you feel about us generally? And they give you something positive and you say, no, is there someone that comes top of mind for you that might benefit from having a conversation with someone like me? That would do business with me, but just have the conversation. So make it all kind of like friendly and then your business opportunities will improve because people want to work with friendly people. That's my take. What's your thought on that?
I would just agree. I would say it's simpler than it seems. I think we hype it up in our heads to make it a lot harder than it seems. But if you just remove the natural gut instinct that I have to sell, I have to close this, and put that feeling aside and just move forward, like you said, in that servant mindset. And I just want to provide the most value to this person possible. I do believe that my services are going to do that and, you know, move forward with that way. And if it doesn't work out and they can't afford your services, then, you know, no harm, no foul, but go into it not needing to sell, but needing to serve. And I think you'll walk out in a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. And compared to the alternative, you're always going around pushing people, always talking about yourself. I mean, who wants to be around that person? Again, some businesses, that's the way they are. I'm not saying change, do your own thing. But for the creatives, the people that care about others, we have to find a different approach. And I can say I've been doing this approach for over 25 years, sold tens of millions of dollars worth of stuff, and it works. And you have repeat business because people want to work with you. So it will get there. You just have to just keep practicing and getting better. And don't think that it's just, you know, you read one book and you say, I got this down. And then you're practicing on your prospects. You practice in front of a mirror and keep getting better at it. And let's speak into your phone and record yourself. All of these things will help you to get more natural with the conversation.
Practice does make perfect. Harry, what do you do when your prospect ghosts you after the first call? You had a great call. You thought they were on board. They sold you into believing that they were going to buy. Like you sold them and then they sold you. You were like, I got this, you know, in the bag. And then they show up to the follow-up call in order to process payment and get the contract signed, and they ghost you. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, accept that as part of doing sales. This things come up, people have they changed their mind, they talked to somebody, they got discouraged, they had a bad week, the baby got sick. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why people ghost us. It does not mean they don't want to do business with us. So some will go you didn't show up to the meeting route and blame the person and send them a nasty gram, which is not what you wanted to. So I think the thing is to recognize is that this person showed interest. They're still a prospect. They're just not over the line as far as you thought they were. So there's still work to be done. And if you go in with that attitude, just kind of start over a little bit. It's like find them back on LinkedIn, comment on their posts. Say something along the lines, sorry, we missed each other this past week. Let's jump on the calendar next week. Don't say, where were you? I was waiting. Right? Just keep it very polite, like you're trying to date somebody. And, you know, it will work out. And it may take 6 or 12 months. Okay? It may not go, you know, I mean, I've had people take contracts from me and say, I will have this to you tomorrow or by Monday. And 6 months later, it's like still hasn't come in. And you just have to just be polite and respectful and say, they must have a ton of stuff on their mind. And I just periodically will send them an article, send them something valuable, send them testimonials, send them something about their industry. just stay in touch until they resurface. Sometimes they may not, right?
There's two major pieces of advice you gave there. One, don't take it personally and don't respond and don't turn what was a great first conversation and great relationship that you built and great rapport negative by, you know, where were you? Why are you, why did you not show up? Or, you know, none of that, because there, I know a lot of us can feel that way and feel really annoyed, especially when you thought you were going to have a sale and then all of a sudden it disappears. But don't, you know, go take a breather, go take a nap. Don't pass that on to the prospect, because they're still very much in the buying category and they're still very valuable to you as a business owner. And the second one is just don't forget about your pipeline. I've talked about this on other episodes, but we, you know, we've closed deals that were 3 years in the making and are there. We see all the communication in the CRM, you know, they were in our Facebook group and they were on our emails and they popped in on Black Friday last year and then ghosted. And then now they're back on, you know, this summer sale this year. Right. So there's just, there's a crazy life cycle to a lot of different leads out there. You got to let them do their own thing. But there is value in your pipeline. Just keep nurturing them, keep them in your, I call it like a social sphere, right? So my leads, like they're hopefully they listen to my podcast, they're going to get my emails, they're going to see me posting on social media, and they're going to have my team reaching out to them, doing more of that active direct communication throughout the sales process, you know? So, you know, with all of those touch points, even with all of that, it can take, like you said, 6 months, a year, even more. So just, you know, don't get discouraged and don't pass on that negativity to the client. Otherwise, you're just cutting your own foot off.
Yeah. And then they'll leave the group, right? They'll just say, you know, this guy's a jerk. And then you're done. So I love what you just shared. So if you just visualize, like I tell sales reps to have a hot sheet when I'm gesturing with my hands, but put in your top, whatever, 25 opportunities, whatever the number is. And that person who said they were really interested, they're still on the hot sheet. They don't go from the hot sheet to the trash bin. Mm-mm. So, and they never should go into the trash bin. They should go back into the cooler prospect, but they're still there. There's still work to be done. And if you look at it that way, don't take it personally. It's like they thought they were ready, but they obviously figured out they weren't quite ready. So no big deal. We'll figure it out, right?
Yep, absolutely. All right, Harry, last question I have for you is, what would be your number one piece of advice for a business owner trying to drive more profit into their business?
Oh, have conversations with your current clients. I mean, this is sadly, sadly missed. Is that people are constantly looking for net new opportunities, not realizing that their current clients already bought from them, would possibly buy more, or possibly give you referrals. So having conversations with your clients is critical for selling with more profitability for a number of reasons. One is, if you're providing value for them in your business, you're going to get testimonials, which is great for your business. That will help you sell with profitability. If you're providing value for them, they won't want to go anywhere else. So longevity leads to profitability. And so then you're just making sure everything is copacetic, that things are going well. That's also good. And as you roll out new products, these people already bought from you. Would they rather buy from a total stranger or buy from you? So if you add another aspect to your business, Tyler, I mean, why would you keep that a secret from the people who've already bought from you? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
Not you, but some people do, shockingly. So yes, that would be the, if you want more profitability and you have clients, then speak to them and either get the testimonials, get repeat business, or at least shore things up for longevity. I say good things are going to happen.
Absolutely. People forget about the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, they sure do.
They forget about the easiest access, which is, you know, the people who already know, love, and trust you and already have that relationship. Harry, thank you again so much for joining me on the show today. It was a very insightful episode.
You provided the insight, Tyler. Great job. you definitely get it. So I'm happy to be here and enjoy the conversation with you.
That's going to be it for today's episode. If you're ready to take your marketing agency or B2B business to the next level and have your leads, your sales, and your client fulfillment all done 100% for you, then apply now at www.profitpeak.co. That's www.profitpeak.co. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. See you on the next episode of the Profit Playbook Podcast.